you ladies out there, whether you gave biological birth to some of these children or not, because it's important for us to remember that motherhood is not defined by biological birth. It's defined by Titus chapter 3, where it says that the older women will teach the younger women. The principle is there that the older women will teach all of the children how to grow and live and love and worship God. And so we wish all of you a very happy Mother's Day. I'm going to talk about my mother. I have my sister here with me this morning. Surprise, she's in the back row. She's a back row Baptist. But I'm going to talk to you about my mother for just a minute. My mama's name was Mary Bertha. She was a powerhouse in our community. She was a registered nurse, the night supervisor at St. Francis. She was the local pediatrician's nurse for a number of years. She was the ER nurse for our community. If anything happened, you went to Mary Bertha, and she fixed you rather than going to see the doctor. She was the cannery and the food storage person. She taught people how to put things up, and she helped you put vegetables up. I hate shelling peas to this day, but we learned to do that. She was local seamstress. She made clothes, wedding dresses. She fixed things, mended things for people. She was the math tutor for a lot of us kids who weren't smart enough to pass math. She was a great cook, and she was a caterer. She cooked for a number of weddings and community folks. She was a Bible teacher of sorts because she kept reminding us what the Ten Commandments said, the Big Ten. That's what she called it. And she wanted you to remember that if you could live by the Big Ten, you could live by anything else. Mama was a woman who was very wise, and she had a saying for everything. And I'm going to share a few of those sayings, and I'm going to leave the blank and see if you can fill it in. One of Mama's sayings was this. Either when giving a whipping or when pulling out a splinter, she would say this. It hurts me more than... So your mother and my mother must have went to the same school. Or how about this one? If you don't stop that crying, I'm going to... Amen. If you can't say something nice, don't trust what you see. You may not know that one. That was a colloquial Charleston term. She would always say, don't trust what you see. Even salt looks like sugar. If all your friends decided to jump off the Cooper River Bridge this afternoon, would you? Don't use your head for something beside a hat rack. Use your head for something beside a hat rack. Before you go out of the house, always put on clean. Why? You may have an accident or get in a wreck. Well, enough of Mama's tomfoolery. But she was a wise woman, and she brought us up in the ways of the Lord, and she brought us up in common sense, and she tried to help us understand how to be the best citizen, how to be the best person, how to be the best Christian we could be. So today I want to look at a lady named Jochebed. You may not know her, but you know her son. Her son's name was Moses. So turn with me, first of all, in your Bibles, to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. For just a few minutes, I want to point out a few things to you about Moses that I think are important as we begin thinking about the power of a godly mother. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense for the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that be destroyed of the firstborn, they should touch him. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying, do were to drown. Just a few things I want to point out to you about Moses. Moses, in chapter 11, verse 24, it says his mother was one who made a great choice. The commandment of the king was to kill off all of the children, the male children. And yet, in verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. She made a great choice, a positive choice. She also taught him in the ways of the world, in the ways of God. She trained him up in the way he should go, so that, as the scriptures say, when he was old, he wouldn't pass away from it. Verse 24 goes on to say that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a great choice to choose to suffer with the children of God rather than to enjoy the sins of this world. He made that choice because his mother instilled in him the truth of God, the truth of God's word, and the love and to worship and honor God. He experienced God's miracles. We see where he passed the children of Israel. He led them through the Red Sea. He saw God provide water. He saw God provide manna. He saw God take care of the children of Israel, their clothing needs, their food needs. He saw God work in mysterious ways, one of which is still a mystery to me this day, and that is the burning bush. Moses was a man of great influence because he received the law from God for the children of Israel, not once but twice, because he lost his temper on the first one when he saw the children of Israel in sin. But he was able to worship and love God to the point where God gave him the Ten Commandments, the law for the children of Israel to follow. How was all of this possible for Moses to do? Now turn with me to the book of Exodus, the second chapter. And if you don't know where the book of Exodus is, it's the second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 2. Our mothers played a vital role in the culture and in the bringing us up, the teaching us in the ways of the world. And I'm sure all of you can stop and reflect about how your mother has taught you and things that she said and things, ways that she influenced your life. And today we want to spend a few minutes looking at the power of a godly mother from Exodus chapter 2. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word and this day. Bless it to us now. Help us to take the wise sayings of your word and apply them to our heart, that we, your children, might be able to be known of you and to know you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Chapter 2 of the book of Exodus, it begins by saying, and there went out a man of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him, that he was godly, a godly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him and an ark of bulrushes and daubed them with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself in the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. Verse 10, and the child grew and brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. There are several things, actually five things, I want to share with you this morning very quickly about the life of Jochebed and her influence on Moses' life. The first thing was the power of a mother's look. Precious pictures when baby is taken from mama's womb and laid on her chest for the first time. I've seen some of those pictures of mamas cradling their baby for the first time and the look that she has on him. The scriptures here say that in verse 2, that when Jochebed saw him, she saw that he was a godly child and she loved him. And she desired great things for him. Mothers see things in their children that other people can't see. My wife named our son after she looked at him the first time. We had some names kind of picked out, but she looked at him and she says, he's a Philip. And if you know anything about Philips, they're generally rascals, and that name followed him the rest of his life. My sister can affirm to that, attest to that. Mothers' looks have power. Did your mother ever give you the eye? Mine did. My mama gave you that look, you knew it was going to be bad. Mothers' looks have the power to motivate children because of what she sees in them. Not always do mothers see bad things. That look of love and compassion when they walk across the stage and get their diplomas, that look of love and compassion when they walk down the aisle and take their bride, that love of look and compassion when she sees that mother, that child of hers holding her first grandson or granddaughter. Mothers see that look and they determine that they want to do the best for that child. Now there's something else that I see here that I want to share with you that's important for you to understand. Pharaoh's daughter did not give birth to Moses, but she adopted him as her son. She took him as her own. That's important for us to remember because she became, with that very first look, when she opened the basket, that very first look when Moses cried out to her, the compassion that she had for him, the love and the care that she immediately craved for him, was an all-important thing for mothers. The second thing I want to share with you is the mother's courage. Jochebed knew that Pharaoh had issued a decree to try to eliminate some of those nasty Jews, Israelites, children of God, out of his territory, his kingdom. They were taking things over. They were starting to be a nuisance. And so all the male children under a certain age were to be, their life was to be taken. Male babies who were born were to be murdered. That's why Jochebed hid him in the bulrushes and the cattails on the edge of the river. That's why she loved him so much to hold him at home for 3 months and try to care for him and to take care of his needs. So you see, she had courage. She wanted to make sure her child knew God. When Jochebed was approached by Pharaoh's daughter to raise him, she took courage in that. And she said, yes, I'll take him and I'll nurse him and I'll make him healthy and I'll raise him. And then at the appropriate time, I'll take him back to you. I'll bring him back to you. You see, she realized that she had an opportunity. She had the opportunity of a short time span to teach him all there was to know about God. She had the opportunity to raise him in a way that he could make a difference for the Lord God Almighty. There's a poem that I like that I learned about when I ran Children's Home, and I want to share part of it with you this morning. The poem is titled, Children Learn What They Live. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If they live with hostility, they learn to fight. If they learn with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If they live with jealousy, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If they live with encouragement, they learn to confide. If they live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If they live with fairness, they learn justice. If they live with security, they have faith. If the children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love in the world. As this poem reminds us that children learn by what they live, their environment, Jochebed used the environment that she had to train Moses up with courage and with boldness because she knew that she was going to make a difference in his life. Verse 3 of Exodus chapter 2 says, "And when she could not longer hide him, she took him out for the ark of bulrushes, and she daubed it with slime and with pitch, and she put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." She had courage. At 3 months, how many of you could give up your child? At 3 months of age, how many of you could just say, "Okay, I'm done. I'm just going to have to put him in God's hand and trust and hope for the best." She also had power and boldness. You see, when she could no longer hide him, she took him to the river's brink and boldly, protecting her son's life, she laid him in that basket and boldly put him in the bulrushes and boldly entrusted him to God's care that God would find a way to deliver him. God would take care of him. So the fourth thing I want to share with you this morning is that she was a mother who was willing to die for her children. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it tells us, "By faith they were not afraid of the king's command to take that child's life." Because if they didn't take the child's life and the king found out about it, Jochebed and Amram would die as well. But she was a mother who was not willing, who was willing to die for her child because she said, "I'm not going to let him go." I never understood a mother's sacrifice till I had children of my own. My mother's faith and determination and sacrifice sustained my family through many days. When my father was an invalid because of a stroke and couldn't work, and she saw that we had clothes and we had food and we had a roof over our head, she was a woman who was willing to give up and to sacrifice so that her children could have and succeed. The power of a mother. The mother's sacrifice. It was her training. It was her prayer. It was her desire. It was her influence that brought about the deliverance of the children of Israel from the hand of slavery and bondage. It was her willingness. It was her boldness. It was her courage. And it was her look of love and desire that brought about the prospering of the children of Israel, inheriting the promised land that we read about in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Joshua, and throughout the rest of the Old Testament. She, in essence, because of her faithfulness, because of her boldness, because of her courage, because of her willingness to sacrifice herself, she brought about the deliverance of the children of Israel from the brickyards and from the mud yards. And she, through Moses, delivered the children of Israel from that terrible, terrible fate. What ifs fill our life? What if Jochebed had not taken courage? How would the children of Israel been delivered? What if Jochebed had not been so bold as to defy the king's order, the Pharaoh's order, and to take her child and hide him and protect him, and then to train him and to teach him the things of God? The faith in the life of Jochebed was the preparation of a nation delivered. And Moses went up to the Lord God and called to him, saying, Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, "Thus you shall say." You see, Moses was who he was because of the power of a godly mother. Moses was able to go to God and visit with him, not necessarily face to face, but visit with him personally on the mountaintop to receive the Ten Commandments. It was Moses who trusted God to guide them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to deliver the children of Israel. It was Moses who had the boldness to go to Pharaoh and confront him to say, "Let my people go," because his mother instilled that voice, that heartbeat, that faith in his life. I owe all that I am to my mom. My faith, what little bit of wisdom I have, and my love to worship the Lord. Mothers don't take heart. I mean, don't take faith lightly or fate lightly. Who knows? You may be raising the next Moses to deliver our nation from the bondage of sin. Who knows? You may be raising the next Billy Graham or Dwight Moody. Who knows how God may be using you and your influence on children's lives in this church to make a difference, as was prayed in the prayer, the opening prayer this morning, to make a difference in this community to bring about revival. Isn't it interesting that the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments, deal with honoring God? And then the fifth commandment deals with honoring our parents and loving our parents. And the last four commandments deal with honoring each other. Isn't it interesting that God says to honor our parents? Why? Because they teach us, they raise us, they train us. Your job as parents, to make a difference. Your job as church members, to make a difference. To influence and to train through your courage, your boldness, your sacrifice, and your unfailing faith in the hearts and the lives of the children around us. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day that you've given to us to honor mothers especially. And we're thankful for the example of Jochebed, Moses' mother. We thank you for her faith and her courage. We thank you that she looked upon her son and saw that he was a godly, goodly child, and she refused to give up. We thank you for her courage and for her boldness to take a stand and to make a difference, to teach him and to train him so that he would be usable by you. We thank you for her sacrifice, for her determination and her faith that sustained Moses through the days of leadership that he would face in his adult life. And we pray, thanking you, Father, for her service to make a difference in your kingdom. Now we pray for these moms and for the dads here, that you will help us to have courage and boldness, that you will help us to have faith and determination, and you'll help us to make the sacrifices necessary, that these children that are entrusted to our care, we can make a difference for your kingdom. For we ask these things in thy name. Amen.